This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are live from the Angler by the Sea. We are in Ocean City, and the reason we are here is because we are joined by the Inside Access inaugural class Hall of Famer, Bobby DePaul, and we are breaking down the Ravens as we head into the season. Preseason game number one Friday night. They lose 16-13. We did some main takeaways. We'll get some more later. But, Bobby D, let's talk about something that we've been discussing on the show a lot, and that is the use of heavy personnel, 12 and 13 personnel, trying to get Likely and Andrews unlocked at the same time.
Well, you got to define what 12 and 13 is. That's one running back for 12. It's one running back, two tight ends, and two receivers. 13 personnel is one running back, three tight ends, okay, and one receiver, okay? So you guys are hammering the 12 personnel because you want Likely and you want Andrews on the field.
Yes.
Jason has mentioned that they only threw 11% of the time when those two guys were on the field for drop-back passing, correct?
Let me give you another stat because okay. This might blow your mind. Ravens quarterbacks attempted 494 passes last year. They attempted 34 of them with those two both on the field. So that's 6.8% of their attempts. Likely and Andrews went on the field together for 10 games, combined for just 84 snaps, 11 catches, 121 yards, one touchdown between the two of them when they're on the field together. But obviously, when they're not on the field together, each one performs individually at an all-pro level. So our thought has been, get them on the field more together.
I don't disagree with what you're saying.
Okay.
But if you go back to the AFC Championship game, where's the running game?
Yeah.
Okay? You want to win the World Championship. You want to beat Kansas City. You got to run the football. So you need Patrick McCart on the field. Okay,
oh, yeah.
He's the fullback. That's 21 personnel, and that's how you get your play actions. I went back and listened to that tape before this show, and all I was hearing was Detroit Lions, 21 line up in 21 personnel, run play action,
and take vertical shots.
Take the vertical shots down the field, and you might run them out of the park. They didn't do it. Okay, so now we're so infatuated with throwing the ball. I get it. But neither one of those guys are very good blockers, okay?
We still want Ricard on. We're thinking Henry, Ricard, those two tight ends, throw a wee little Zay Flowers out there and let's go.
Okay. So saying that's a different package of personnel. It's called 22 personnel. Now you have two running backs, two tight ends, one receiver. We're talking about 12 personnel, 13. It doesn't surprise me that when they were in 12 personnel that they only had 11%, drop back pass because it's a run the ball. Play action, right? That, quarterback under center, run the play action. That's what 12 personnel is. Can you get the 12 personnel and give you 11 personnel looks? What's 11 personnel? That's one tight end, three receivers, one running back. You can get Likely.
Yeah.
You got to start thinking about 11 personnel looks by switching
up.
But with heavier personnel in the field. Now you get your inside-outside zone out of shotgun with King Henry, forcing him to defend the run, right? There's more play action, and then hitting Likely or Andrews off the play action, or drop back passing. You can run drop back passing with those guys on the field. But when I think of drop back passing in Lamar Jackson, think about the quarterback And where he's most dynamic is the off-platform throws, where he's it's drop back, but then he's forcing the defense to defend the second play, which is his scramble play. Who do you want on the field? Do you want the slower tight ends? And I brought this up last year. Do you want the slower tight ends on the field with drop back, or do you want the speed, the guys that can turn and go deep? Okay, because you got Lamar Jackson running around. The tight ends aren't going to get that great separation, and they don't have the ability to go deep. So the safeties will sit on them. Okay, if you got the speed on the field, and now it's dropped back and it becomes the scramble drill, it's the speed guys that you're going to be wanting to throw the ball to. They're the guys that are going to be open. So you just got to keep that in mind. You can do all the things you want to do with these two tight ends on the field. Okay, there's no question. But who would you rather have on the field in that drop back situation when you know the second play is what Lamar is best doing?
I guess for me, in this passing offense, you want to get your best playmakers involved. And, I mean, like you got Andrews, you got Likely, you got Zay Flowers, and we know what it has been, or lack thereof, with Rashad Bateman. And I feel like with Likely, he even said it himself, he's a chess piece, right? I mean, you can use him in the slot. You can use him out wide. You know, you can use him in a variety of different ways.
I don't disagree. All I'm saying is that when these tight ends are on the field, it's not big plays. It's more short to intermediate. Do you want to take the tight? If you don't have anybody that can take the top off of coverage, the safeties are going to realize what you're doing and sit on you. Yeah. They're going to sit on these tight ends. And you got to keep in mind, Likely excelled because there was no Mark Andrews. That's why he just replaced Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews was always excelling. Now he gets hurt. Likely comes in, and he's excelled. He's just replacing Mark. So the Ravens have two guys that can do the same type of thing. You put both of them on the field defensively, they're going to go nickel personnel. They're going to rush the quarterback, or they're going to blitz because they can cover these guys better than they could the receivers.
But if you're in 21.
It's a game of reaction on defense. So I'm telling you, as a defensive coach, it's easier to defend two tight ends than it is three receivers.
But if we're in 21 or 22, we're getting some of their lesser coverage guys because they're going to have to respect our bulk, aren't they? So even if they've got the safeties over the top, if you've got Likely against their second-best coverage linebacker or a box safety, right, because they're going to still have to respect us running Henry behind Ricard out of those packages, no?
Well, like I said, if you have two tight ends that are non-blockers, they're going to go nickel. They're not going to go base or you know, defensively they're not. You wish they would,
right?
But they won't. They will go nickel. They will stay a nickel because they're not worried about defending the run.
Then Lamar at the line checks into a run play.
You can do that. Absolutely. But think of it this way. They will be the linebackers, you know, it's light in the box with six in the box, right? So they have six, seven blockers, okay? Absolutely. With King Henry back here, it makes a difference. But like I said, I don't see defenses when those two guys on the field going heavy personnel. They're going to be defending the pass, and then they'll stick in the run blitzes, which I said Spags does. You saw, you know, I went back last year and listened to that podcast with the Kansas City game, and all we talked about is how, you know, they don't defend the run. They don't defend the run. They defended the run pretty good in that game because they picked their spots. You know, it's about risk management, okay, for a defensive coordinator. And it's a chess game going on out there, and you got to keep in mind, it always comes back to the evaluation of the player and what they can and cannot do. If you want to go 22 personnel, now you get a compliment, and now you get what you want. See, what I'm saying is it's not 12, it's 13.
It's 22.
Because now I've got Ricard on the field who can play that H-back spot. And now you get your matchups because they will go heavy. Now you
They've
got Ricard.
Gotta respect that.
Now when you go heavy, I'm in base now because we can knock them off the ball because we have a guy that's a disruptor in the running game with Ricard. And now you stick Likely out and you can, you know, you start getting into these bastard formations where you get the corner matched up to Likely or Andrews. Now that's what you guys really want. You want 22 personnel.
Let me ask you one more question because his name was mentioned during all this, and he's a wide receiver. But Rashad Bateman, like from an evaluator perspective, has the ship sailed on him? Like, or do you have any expectation for him anymore?
Talent-wise, he has the talent. Has he ever consistently played at the level that what do I always say the expectations are? Where you're picked or how much you get paid?
He don't get paid that much anymore, Bobby.
I mean,
he took a haircut.
We just saw Nate Wiggins out there. he looks like a first-round pick,
yeah.
right? We've seen glimpses of Bateman, okay? But he's always getting hurt, man. He's hurt now. It's a little scary right now because, see, last year they had the competition with Odell Beckham. He's not back. Now these guys are sitting there going, hey, we got a situation where, you know, they don't have a lot of depth. And he's got to step up. This is his year to do it.
Derrick Henry, $9 million, 30 years old, 2,000 carries under his belt. Where are you on this?
It's King Henry, by the way.
Sorry.
Okay. And I saw
I meant no disrespect.
I was watching the game, and before the game, they had him working out. They had a little thing with King Henry working out, and I've never seen anything like this. This guy is the Jim Brown of today.
Okay.
We mentioned Kansas City. We didn't run the ball. Probably the reason why they didn't win the game. Usually when you give up, if you're defensively, the goal is to hold them to 17 points or less, and you should win the game yeah. at home
yes.
in the championship game. What was the difference running the ball? John Harbaugh sent out a statement by signing in the front office. They said, we are running the ball. Now, keep in mind, they have an offensive line in transition. So what's the best thing to help the offensive line? It's going to take the offensive line. They lost three starters
yeah.
and good players. So what's the best way to help out a developing offensive line? Run the damn ball, right? So John in the front office said, we're getting King Henry. Ozzie with the Alabama ties. I mean, we saw a lot of Alabama guys get signed in the offseason.
Yeah.
They keep coming in. This is a guy that can force the offensive coordinator to run the damn ball. And this is what you want. If you're a Ravens fan, you're going to get a combination of the two. Okay, you talk about the zone read option with Lamar and King Henry. There's so many things that they're going to be able to do. You know, is Greg Roman going to be reinvented? No, I don't think so. Okay, because you got Likely and Andrews
right.
and things like that. But you're going to have to run the ball at the beginning of the season to get this offensive line. There's a lot of work that has to be done with this offensive line. John Gruden used to say it's like a chorus line. It's a Broadway chorus line. They have to step and work together. Getting five guys to that level is going to take time. They don't hit like they used to in the old days in the offseason. What we saw, we talked about Voorhees, what we saw Friday night was the first time these guys had the pads on in a while, and they're just coming together. And I'm telling you, we don't know who's going to be playing where. This is going to take the whole preseason to figure out.
We are live at the Angler by the Sea here in Ocean City. It's a four-hour Bobby DePaul extravaganza. You should come on out and see us. 2-for-1 drinks during happy hours. Happy hour has begun here at the Angler. When we come back, your opportunity to ask Bobby DePaul a question, 410-583-1057. We also will have an interesting NIL conversation. You're going to want to hear that. That is next, Inside Access, with you till 6 here on The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
People, 410-583-1057. You have any Ravens questions for Ultimate Football Guy Bobby DePaul, call in now. He will answer them. Before we get to that, Bobby, we wanted to have this NIL discussion. You had an interesting idea.
Well, I mean, I do have a day job, as we mentioned last yeah. fall, and that's working for Sumer Sports. And we're an advanced analytics company, and we get hired by a lot of the NFL teams now. And we've got a huge staff. Actually, this staff is headed up by Thomas Dimitrioff, the former GM of Atlanta Falcons. We've got Mike Mayock, who's been an NFL Network.
Yeah.
He was with the Raiders. We've got Phil Emery, who's with the Falcons, with me in Chicago, general manager of Chicago. I mean, just so many people. The list goes on. But make a long story short, last year I had the AFC North and the AFC South. This year we restructured. I have all the defensive tackles for college. I did 100 college evaluations in the spring for next year's draft. Jeez. You want to talk about advanced analytics? This is how you do it. We are creating the AI of scouting for the NFL people. That's the future. That's where we're all heading. So they've hired all these people with experience because AI is about the data. The AI information is only as good as the data that is fed to it.
Right.
Okay, so this gentleman by the name of Paul Tudor Jones, who owns the company with his son Jack, brought us in, and we are feeding 400 years of experience into this system. So now I have college defensive tackles and the pro defensive tackles moving forward. And eventually we're going to drop down to high school, because if you play golf, you think about caddies. These head coaches in college football right now, it's chaos because it's free agency every year,
right,
for their players. So we're evaluating all their players now. And when you have the evaluation, we set the value. We're going to help. They're hiring cap people.
Right.
They're hiring pro scouts. I mean, I talked to Mike Loxley. He sent me a text. He's like, hey, I got a list of, I'm trying to build a pro department, you know, like an NFL pro department, because I have to evaluate all these guys. I haven't got back with you, Mike, but let me tell you something. We can save you a lot of money and time, because we are already evaluating all the players. And so I'm in golf, you have caddies. What we envision is these head coaches calling us. Okay, defensive tackle, call Bobby DePaul. Okay, coach, here's my board, just like a draft board in the NFL. Here's who I like. He's playing over here. He's playing over here. You might remember him from college, that type of thing. And, I was talking, we hired Chuck Bresnahan. You know, he's got linebacker. I was telling Chuck Bresnahan the other day, I said, you know, the first thing a head coach is going to ask is, what's your process and how did you come up with these names?
Right.
They trust us. That's what this is all about. They'll be able to see that we know the players, and eventually they'll be able to call us, the 1-800, I need a player.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, who assigns them? Will you or the AI or someone at Sumer assign a monetary value of how much you think of their NIL budget they should dictate to this player, or are you just giving them rankings?
Well, we have.
Are you doing sort of? So are you doing?
We have
the
a combination.
Form?
We have cap people.
Right.
We have cap. We have pro. We have college. Okay, so it all. It's like a Sam's Club. It all comes one stop shopping.
Right.
Right. So, it all feeds in. And then these guys are smart. They're MIT. Jack graduated from MIT. So they have all these people that they have the analytics. They know what they're doing. It's not my area.
Right.
Okay. Mine is really what the player is. Okay. So we're spoking the wheel. And it creates this stack. Okay. Kind of like you hear DaCosta talking about their board.
Yeah.
We have our board. I have my board for next year already. These guys are just now getting to it.
Right.
Okay. And, you know, that's why you have Blusto, you have National, because they're the kind of the advanced, yeah, scouts for the college to kind of create guys.
So I guess with this defensive line class, since you've done all the legwork on them, is it a good crop?
Well, there's a big kid. You know, it's funny. I was talking to, I'm not going to mention any names. You guys can realize who I'm talking to on your own. I'm not mentioning names, but I was talking to a head coach before the draft, and I said, hey, these defensive tackles are short for this year. I kind of looked at them this year. I said, now next year, you're going to have length.
Yeah.
You. And you know what the head coach said to me? He goes, I've never had that information before. I said, you're right. Come to think of it, I've never had that information before. But he was able to say, that's great information, because now I know. Hold off on the defensive tackle,
right,
this year. Let's go next year. Deone Walker, Kentucky. Wait till you see this guy. Reminds me of Jumpy Gathers. I mean, this guy's a beast. We're talking 6'6", okay? You got Mason Graham up at Michigan. There's a kid named Walter Nolan down at Ole Miss. I mean, South Carolina's got T.J. Sanders. I mean, I know where the guys are now. You know what,
yeah,
I mean? The diamonds in the rough. So I'm not going to give you all our information.
Sure.
People pay for it.
Yeah.
But like I said, I have a stack and about 100 players for next year's draft. Now, they're all not, you know, on average, there's only 21 defensive tackles that get picked in the draft. So think about it. I have a board of 100. Only 21 of them get drafted on average per year. So you got to know your numbers. You know what I'm saying?
How much of a step forward do you think Travis Jones can take this year?
I saw the tape. Okay. He played great the other night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He's taking the next step based off what I'm looking at. Later on in the show, we'll talk about, I did a little study on the AFC North and breaking down the trenches, okay? And right now, the Ravens are in great shape inside, based off what I've seen.
Coming up, I'm sorry about that.
No, we're good. I was talking about Travis Jones. I think he's going to take another step,
mm-hmm,
just like Madubuike did.
Right.
That guy's a monster now.
Yep.
Yeah. You were liking him a long time ago.
Well, he's a big body that can push the pocket. And when you have that height, that's a distraction for the quarterback when they step up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're looking for. And that kid at Kentucky, That's what he does. He's like playing badminton with the ball.
Coming up next, one of the big questions this season is this new kickoff and what the heck it's going to look like. It looked weird Friday night, Ravens and Eagles. Well, Chris Tabor, long time special teams coach in the NFL, Bears, Browns, Carolina Panthers. He joins us next here on The Fan. Live from the Angler by the Sea here in Ocean City, it's a special Bobby DePaul edition of Inside Access. And one of the big questions about this season is what the heck this new kickoff is going to look like. So Bobby DePaul has enlisted an expert to help us learn about it. He's a longtime special teams coordinator in the National Football League, was most recently the interim head coach of the Carolina Panthers. It's Chris Tabor. And Chris, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate your time. Before we get into the kickoff, how did you and the ultimate football guy cross paths, Bobby DePaul?
Oh, well, thanks for having me, guys. No, Bobby D, when I was my first go-around in Chicago under Coach Lovie Smith there, Bobby was running our pro personnel department, and that's where we crossed paths. And then we hooked up again another stint with the Cleveland Browns there. So I've known Bobby a long time, does a great job, and I know he has a lot of great insight for you guys.
Well, Chris Tabor invented the conveyor belt.
Oh.
Okay. So special teams and coaches and personnel departments, special teams coaches are – we have fan
Bobby's fan club.
Here.
Bobby's fan club is everywhere. Okay.
Groupies jumping Bobby while we're on air.
So the personnel department and the special teams coaches work hand in hand because you know we're always dealing with injuries and we need players, to come in, quickly, and sometimes we bring players in we think are better, linebackers and the head coaches and the coordinators are, but Chris Tabor, he invented the conveyor belt. You bring them down to the special teams guys, and they get them going and start building their confidence up. Next thing you know, the linebacker coach likes the guy because the special teams coach puts their seal on them.
Well, Coach, you've had a chance to digest these new rules. We've now had a week of full exhibition games, and I know that you're talking to a lot of guys in the league as well. How big of a deal is this, and do you think that – the teams that are gutsy enough to sort of play on the edges here or try to maybe get a little cute will hold that stuff back rather than actually try it out and see it in theory and practice in these preseason games?
Well, I it obviously is still a work in progress, and I think probably a lot of guys are still trying to figure out some things. I mean, they're just simple things with regards to how you want to drop your frontline guys that are only 5 yards away from the defender and trying to find out where the ball's being kicked and located and then getting on your guy to block. I mean, those are all things I think guys are working through. It seems like the media maybe was hoping for more big returns, but you saw some big returns here later on in these later games in preseason one. And I just think it's going to be, like I say, a work in progress. But I think the league is doing a good thing by trying to enhance this play and not just settle for the touchbacks.
Chris, how difficult is this going to be for the officials? Because it is so condensed with just two lines of players and all of this action's happening at once.
Well, I think the officials do a good job, and I've always said this. I know people sometimes get on officials, but they have the toughest job, and those guys have to make decisions quickly. With the closed, condensed spaces, I think they'll be fine. I think they'll be able to, if you think about it, with the old kickoff and guys running from the 35 and getting a full head of steam, and then they engage their blocker. Does the block, naturally sometimes the blocker's hands go around the outside and then the player replaces his hands inside for a legal block. Well, the official has to kind of sometimes sort through that. I think with them closer together, I think the I don't want to call it illegal blocking, but the hands outside the frame and those things will be easier to detect. But it is. Everything is happening fast. And I think that's probably what everyone's trying to get used to right now.
We're talking to Chris Tabor. It's Inside Access here on the Fan. Chris, just curious your opinion. Number one, is this kickoff going to lead to more player safety, A, and the future of the kickoff? Because there is a theory that eventually they're going to get rid of it completely. Are you worried that the kickoff is going to eventually go the way of the dinosaur?
Well, I hope it doesn't ever go away. I mean, think about it. I mean, as we all grow up and, you know, back in the day when, you know, they kick the ball off in the Super Bowl and they have a ground shot so everyone can see all the camera lights going off. I think those are still important things. I know it'll be different now. But just with regards to setting field position, I mean, we're not playing in our backyard anymore where we're going to start saying, hey, let's play make it, take it. I think, for example, if you have a team that struggles offensively, you know, but you're good on defense and you're good on special teams, well, it's your right to be able to try to set field position as opposed to some arbitrary number. Say, well, if you score, we'll just put the ball right here at the 25-yard line and see if you can go the whole way. You know, big returns, even if you only get the ball out, only if you get the ball out to the 40-yard line, just imagine, I mean, one first down and now put you in an area where now you're pooching the ball and you've reset field position and then maybe you score the next series. So I hope it never goes away. I think that would be, in my mind, obviously, a travesty. I mean, think about it. Football is a game of field position, and it's about acquiring land. And you have to be able to set that. You just can't have an arbitrary number. I do think with the condensed version, I think the guys, the coaches, and the league have done a good job of trying to obviously shrink the space and the speed in those collisions. And I think that's a good thing for the game, because obviously today's player it's different than what it was 20 years ago. They're bigger, stronger, and faster. It's just the way it is. And I think that the league is trying to stay up with that and adjust accordingly.
Coach, from the return side of things, do you see the potential for trickeration or razzle-dazzle? I know it would take some cojones, but somebody running right and throwing back left to the other, to the other back. Do you think some people may try to turn this into an explosive play?
I think you could see that. I think, obviously, game situation will always override some of those decisions. I think the one thing that when you see some of those big returns that took place this weekend, it's kind of turns into a little bit, inside zone, so to speak. It's starting and the ball's bending back. You know, the kickoff teams, when you're kicking off from the 35, you could essentially come down in waves and there would be, you know, it's like having a defensive line of linebackers and secondaries that there's levels there. Now, with the way it is, I think guys are trying to figure out how are we going to get those different waves of coverage, because like the Jacksonville-Kansas City game, I mean, the Jacksonville guy does, he obviously looks like a punt returner, just making guys miss. And if your coverage is all on one line, I mean, think of it as cover zero on offense. Boom, you get through, you're gone. So I think those are things that everyone's still trying to work through, and it's going to be interesting to see how the game evolves. I really, guys, this is going to be a thing that's going to go on for a few weeks, you know, as guys get more comfortable and get more reps about what works and what doesn't work and who they want to attack. It'll be interesting.
Chris, they obviously did this rule change to get more action in the game, for more returns in the game. But that all being said, could you envision halfway through the season that teams are still going to have their kickers just kick it through the end zone?
Well, I do think you're going to see some of that, since the ball is going to be spotted at the 30-yard line. I think where it's going to get, in your area up there in Baltimore, where weather is a factor, and obviously Coach Harbs has always done a great job and that staff on special teams and overall as a team. But, you know, hey, if we can get guys down there into a tackle inside the 20 or get them at the 22-yard line, and now that offense. We stop them with our good defense, and now they're punting into the wind, and we get a short field. Boom, we score again. I think when you look at it, as opposed to just it's just a kickoff and kickoff return play, look at it totally within the game of football of how it could affect things. And I think that's what makes it it's going to make it exciting. Like I say, I'm not going to lie to you. When I first saw it, it does. It looks different because that's what we're used to certain things. But I think like anything, the more reps that are on TV and we start seeing some plays or guys, I know everyone wants to see big returns, but guys, tackles inside the 20, those are good things too. It just depends how you want to look at it.
Chris, I just want to make a point that the Raven fans need to know that you helped coach with Dave Tobe, Devin Hester, and you were at the Hall of Fame for Hester a couple of weeks ago. So you're used to big returns and setting field positions, brother.
No, and we're fortunate to be around a guy like that, both of them. But you know, and the Ravens have always had good returners also in my time playing them, whether it was at the Bears or I was a long time in Cleveland. Got a lot of respect for the guys that they get. But it's just I think the narrative, guys, and you guys have kind of said it, you want more big returns and those things. I get all that. But putting people back and making offenses work, I think that's those are good things too. It's how your team is built. And I think fans need to look, how is our team built and what advantage does that give us?
Chris Tabor, this was great, man. Thank you so much, Coach, for your time. We appreciate it.
Okay, Tabor.
Thanks, guys. Take care. Thank you.
Hey,
coming up next, live from the Angler, it's T-Bone time. TMI, TAM, what you got?
Got a lot of ground to cover because I was out at training camp yesterday, an eventful day at the Castle. But also, Ken and I, we spent the night at Chuck Buck's place.
How about that?
The
sleepover.
The red carpet was out. We will get into it next.
Italian hospitality, yes. Baby.
It's T-Bone time, TMI with TIM, and the floor is yours.
It is a special Ocean City edition.
Yes.
Version of TMI with Bobby DePaul. Where else would you rather be? Well, we were at Chuck Buck's establishment.
The villa.
Last night.
The beach compound.
We get in.
It was like being on Lake Como with George Clooney.
It was.
I'm sure.
We went to his clubhouse, I guess.
Signatures.
Is that what you would call it? Signatures.
Yeah. So this is like on the golf course?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much on the golf course. Had some dinners, some drinks. Then we went back.
By the way.
You guys all drove down together? Or?
No, we drove. I left earlier.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was his wife's sister and two of Chuck Buck's friends.
Yeah, two of Chuck Buck's friends. And one of his friend's friend. Humongous Bobby D.
Yes.
Apparently he's coming by at some point today.
Around 4:30.
So, 4:30, so we'll be seeing him sometime soon. But, yeah, man, and then we went back to his place, really nice place.
He made 15 bedrooms.
Made us breakfast.
Plenty of room.
Yeah. Oh. Made us breakfast in the morning, gave us the tour of the whole facility, talked about how hard the golf course was.
He'd take you out to the putting range? Or?
He showed us.
And then he gushed about the 91 Washington football team, the then Redskins.
Never seen him happier.
Oh, my God. He was glowing.
Lit up.
Glowing.
I'd be willing to bet Chuck Bucks is happier about the 91 Redskins than the birth of his children.
Wow.
I think so. I guess I shouldn't say what your password is, but it does involve.
So wait. So everybody had their own bedroom.
We stayed in the same bed.
We shared a bed.
Twin beds.
Yeah.
Oh, but it wasn't bunk beds.
If there were bunk beds, I was hoping.
There better be a picture.
I was hoping it was bunk beds.
But you were in the same room.
Yes.
So you were like in the kids' room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you call it the kids' room?
Yeah.
Nice. And Chuck Bucks cooked dinner for you guys?
Cooked
breakfast.
You had dinner at the club?
Signatures, yes.
He made us egg sandwiches. There were chocolate croissant, chopped up watermelon. Oh. I mean, it was really like...
Wow.
Yeah, it was unreal.
Did you know it was coming? Or, like, were you still asleep and he just came in with plates? Or I paint me a picture.
No, I got up early. I went for a run.
Yeah.
And then he asked, do you want eggs?
I came downstairs, and he was wearing nothing but a Kiss
the Cook
apron that said Kiss the Cook.
That's what I was picturing.
Yes.
So I missed out just coming down with my family this morning.
Yeah, you really did miss out.
I missed like some serious IA bonding, it sounds like.
It was very big IA bonding.
And earlier in the day, I was out at One Winning Drive, and one of the biggest happenings, unfortunate happenings, was Kyle Hamilton, who thankfully sounds like he is fine. He was, according to the beat guys there, working off to the side. And John Harbaugh was in a great mood despite all of that and gave a ton of injury updates. Obviously, we talked a lot about Wiggins. Bateman, he said that he felt Bateman was, you know, ready to go. He was back at practice today for a little bit.
Not working himself back.
Rasheen Ali, Sanusi Kane, those were stingers. Linderbaum, they feel like he'll be good come week one. Millett, he kind of said in passing that he was going to miss regular season games.
Of course he is.
But some other big takeaways from practice. Lamar got off to a rough start. Hamilton had an interception early on, but then he was picking it up. And I felt like Lamar, and we were talking about it with Bobby D, about the inaccuracy with deep ball. I thought he was throwing a really nice deep ball yesterday. There were two deep balls to Nelson Aguilar down the sideline, right in the breadbasket. Drops. And Lamar was pissed.
I can't help but think of that interview with the guy in Philadelphia with the kid thrown out the window.
Yeah, throwing his helmet down. He had a really nice pass to Zay Flowers.
Yeah, down the sideline.
Isaiah Likely continues to flash. There was a play late in the game when it was 11-on-11, late in practice, in 11-on-11s. He had this one-handed grab, left hand over the middle, just snagged it right in. I mean, it was really, really impressive. Matt Abike was wreaking havoc a lot throughout the day. I mean, he would have had an easy strip sack of Josh Johnson at that point in practice. But
do you think we see Rosengarten with the ones this time around?
Well, John Harbaugh did say that. So he was asked a lot about the offensive line. And Rosengarten, he said that he wants to see him play more in this next game. I mean, as far as the Jabo.
I mean, I'm glad they got Jones reps at a couple different places and moved some guys around. But, I think you need to see Rosengarten against some ones here.
He was pleased with Ben Cleveland, though, like what Bobby D was saying at center. So
no, it was anything but a disaster. Yeah. I mean, it was you know, could have gone a whole hell of a lot worse. I'll put it that way.
He's a massive human being, that Ben Cleveland.
He's a big dude.
Hey, coming up next, we're going to take a look at the Ravens' defense with Bobby DePaul. And we've documented their losses from a year ago on defense, guys like Jadeveon Clowney, Geno Stone, Patrick Queen, et cetera. Is this about the scheme over personnel? We'll ask Bobby D next here on The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.